I'm going to go ahead and pray, and today we are talking about this hope. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've already done this morning. You are so good. We are so blessed. And Lord, if somehow we don't realize the way that we're loved, the way that we've been blessed, Lord, I pray that we don't leave here in that state. I pray that people leave here and that blessing, that love is just dripping off of them and it gets on to other people. Because Lord, that's what you've called us to do and how you've called us to be, that they would know us by the way that we love one another. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. Speak through me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to be clear. Help me to be in tune with you and your words. This morning I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are talking about this hope. And as you know, we are continuing our series, Joy Unspeakable. And I feel like I could almost call this Hymns Revisited, because I thought about another song, and this one is The Solid Rock by Edward Mote, and I'm just going to read the first two lines, but it is, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All right, so let's talk about hope. Let's see the definition. The definition is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. I got a few certain things that come to mind that I'm expecting and I'm desiring. Amen? A person or a thing that may help or save someone. We all know someone, right? And then two, I don't know that I agree with the dictionary on this one. It calls it archaic, but it's a feeling of trust. But I like that one too. So I have a question for you today. Do you have hope? Do you trust in God and in his word? Now, you may have hesitated, you may have said yes, and then, well, is that a full yes or whatever, but I want to explore this together today so that at the end of the service, you can say, yes, I have this hope. So, our bulletins, you'll see a phrase right under our logo that says, discover God's story of hope for your life. This isn't something cute or fancy, or we're just like, oh, that sounds good. It's what we want to be about. We want to put you on that path to discover God's story of hope for your life. So I want to give you some tools today to not only know that for yourself, but also to be able to teach somebody what that story of hope is, okay? So here's a Christmas scripture for you that ties into this, and I just liked it too much, so I couldn't not put it in here. But it was Matthew 12:21 in the New Living. It says, and his name will be the hope of all the world. And his name will be the hope of all the world. Amen? Is that good? Yes. So, also in Romans 15, the word, the Bible, tells us that God is the source of our hope. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. We talked about those. Because you what? You trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. So here's our first point. My hope is built. What foundations are you building on? So as I often do, a parable came to mind. It's found in Matthew 7:21. And Tina Willis, Tina, if you're online, good morning. Good morning to those that are typically online, Christine and John, everybody that is tuning in, the Jacksons, everybody say hi to the Jacksons. We bless you and pray that you get good and needed rest. And Tina and I were sharing a few scriptures, and part of this one came to mind to both of us when we were kind of talking about it. But he says in verse 21, he says, not everyone, this is Jesus, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the realm of kingdom, heaven's kingdom. It is only those who persist in doing the will of my heavenly Father. This is a little bit scary. Verse 22, on the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, don't you remember us? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons and do many miracles for the sake of your name? But I will have to say to them, Go away from me, you lawless rebels. I have never been joined to you. That's a little bit scary. You may find yourself doing things for his name, but if you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with him, if he doesn't live inside of you like that river of living water springing up inside of you, you've missed it. I hope that you can say, I have relationship with Christ today. Verse 24, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the flood came, think of Oklahoma Storm 2020, right? With fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained and rained and the flood came, with wind and waves beating upon its house, it collapsed and was swept away. Where are your foundations at? Where is your trust? If things upset you far too easily than they should, that should be a good indication. Another indication is, how has your trust been maintained, or has it, during the events of 2020, during the events of the past few months? Find yourself wavering, teetering, and tottering? Well, here's what Jesus said. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough problems of its own. And just as we've been studying with the youth in Egypt, I feel like I say that every time. We've been in this study for a while, and it's been good. But just as the Israelites had to trust the Lord every day for the manna and the quail, so should we. Jesus, every day I want to trust you. Every day I too will be provided for. Do you believe that? All right. So today is going to be a day of response. And I normally don't do this, but we're going to do this today. So I have some declarations after each of these points we're going to say together. The first one I want us to say out loud together is this: Jesus, I choose to trust you each and every day. Do you trust him? All right. Next point. Do you have this hope? So that's the title of our message, and you might be thinking, what are we talking about, Chris? So the first one I want to talk about, and we're in Romans 8, so if you write Romans 8 on your notes, circle it, underline, highlight that thing, whatever you got to do, but read Romans 8. Paul tells us that we were given this hope when we were saved. When he says, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. So what's he talking about? What is this hope? And that first one that we're calling out today is life in the Spirit. Verse 6 tells us to set our minds on the Spirit is life and peace. We've been set free from the power of sin and death. We are no longer slaves. There's a song about that. So let's shake those shackles off in Jesus' name. So you could do that if you want to. I was doing that in our Wednesday night Bible study. But shake those shackles off. You've been set free from sin and death. No longer slaves, okay? Ephesians 2:8 reminds us of this. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. And as I was writing this out, I felt the Lord just kind of take me through the Spirit. And I have never heard this verse spoken so beautifully than by Ben and Michelle's little girl this morning. But John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal, or I say everlasting life. That's me in all the versions that I read. Everlasting life. And so we have this grace, we have this gift, we have something that Jesus freely chose to do that changed the eternal course of history. How awesome is that? That's the best gift we could ever receive, and it's Christmas time. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift, okay? Right? What is grace? Grace is unmerited, unearned favor. We've received favor from our God in Christ. That should get us jumping and shouting. I'm about to jump and shout for us because this is awesome. So Paul I'm reminded of this. I was reading in Acts. This is right around 24 and 25. Paul told Felix, the governor of Caesarea, he said that he had the same hope that the Jews who were accusing him had. And you know, you kind of got to look back. Okay, what's he talking about? You know, this hope, what's he saying? And he said it was the resurrection on the last day of the righteous and the unrighteous. What? God's going to raise the unrighteous too? What is that? What? Yeah, judgment. Stuff's going to go down and things are going to get real. And everybody who's been saying there's no God, I don't believe that, I don't trust that, they're going to have a wake-up call. Their eyes are going to get real big. But at the same time, remember that verse we just looked at in Matthew 7? Some of us are going to have a wake-up call. But did I not say, Lord, Lord? Did I not do? Did I not do? Did I not do? Do you know him? I'm also reminded when Jesus met Mary and Martha, and they said, Jesus, your friend, Lazarus, our brothers died. What's taking you so long? Come on, let's go. And I'm reminded of his words when he comforted her. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Another version, and I loved it. I don't even remember which version it was. But he said, her discourse to him was, I know that he will be resurrected on the last day, right? She's kind of justifying it, not really finding comfort, not real comfort anyway. And he says, you don't have to wait till then. I'm the resurrection and the life. I was like, I like this. This is cool, you know, because that's the type of life, that's the type of truth we find in Jesus. He's like, no, not today. Today we're going to shake things up a bit. Are you ready? Come on, let's go. You know, so I like that. Someone online that's at the computer, tell us what version that is in the comments there. It might be TPT, but let us know. So here's our next declaration. I want to say this together. Jesus, I receive the free gift of life that you have given me by your death on the cross for my sins. I receive it. Amen? All right, next point. Do you have this hope, the hope of sonship? We are heirs with Christ, co-heirs through our union. Told you, me and you. Golly, just the notes. I didn't even know what you were going to talk about this morning, and we started talking about unity, and I started getting excited. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are joined together with him. We, as we were talking in class today, it always reminds me of the scripture, and I think it was 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there in John. We were reading in John 17, but Jesus says, I am in my Father's hand. And you are in my hand. So get this picture. We've got a hand, Father's hand, Jesus' hand, and we're in his hand. So he's closed up, and then he's got his closed up. We are protected. We are covered. We are united with him. Do you receive that today? So Romans 8:15 says it this way in the Passion Translation. He says, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. Religious duty. Performance. If I just do this, God will be proud of me. If I just, you know, go do this thing, he'll be proud of me. When in fact, Jesus said up above, it's not the people that are prophesying in my name and casting out demons in my name. That's not it. If you would be in union with Christ, you'll find that he's already proud of you. That, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the same love that God has for his son, he now has for us. When he sees us, he just has love. So it's not religious duty. It's not you're never going to be good enough. I believe that too far and too long in my life. So that one hits home for me. I don't know about any of you. You are good enough in Christ. Because he's good enough. Amen? So let's continue reading. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned, For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, or it says Abba Father, Papa God, Daddy. For the Spirit, Holy Spirit, makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being. He whispers this, hear this, you're God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures, for we are indeed heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. Did you know it's not going to be easy? Did you know it's not going to be fun? Did you know that you're going to be persecuted for bearing this name? Well, what's he say? You'll be co-glorified with him. Things will change. Things will transform. It'll be so good to come to heaven. And instead of hearing, be gone from me, I never knew you, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come enter into your master's joy, right? He's gone to prepare a place for us. I can't wait. I don't know if you've ever gone and viewed a house, but you know, some of them are good, some of them are not good. But Jesus is going to be the best one at, hey, come check out this room. Let's go, you know? And he's going to show you all that he's made for you. And it's just going to be a blast. I'm just going to enjoy just being in his presence, let alone seeing what he's done for me, right? So I need you to mark down, highlight that one too, 15 and 17. And every time you believe that you need to do something for him to love you or to accept you, reread this and then read it again. Joyce and rejoice, right? As we studied on Wednesday evenings, we've been in Galatians, and Paul is telling the church, this is not a Jesus plus anything else gospel. Grace and grace alone. For by grace you have been saved, right? Grace and grace alone. So here's our next declaration. Jesus, I choose to partner with you to do the will of the Father on this earth. Help me to be your hands and feet. Next one. Father, I believe that you love me with the same love that you have for Jesus. Amen. Can you say that without getting a smile right afterwards, right? You feel his love. Amen. All right. 1 Peter 1:2. I love this. Peter's so cool. Here's what he says. You are not forgotten, for you've been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. Amen. Grace and peace. Amen. You've been chosen for him, for his purposes, set apart. So here's our next point. Do you have this hope? The hope of future glory and everlasting love. So last week I asked a question. I said, have you experienced this harvest of love from the Holy Spirit in your lives? From Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It said a byproduct of having the Holy Spirit in our lives was love. And love had each of these manifestations. One of the manifestations was faith that prevails. So write down Galatians 5, 22, 23. The Passion Translation, one of those is faith that prevails. And Galatians 5 says it this way, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hebrews 10, 23 says it this way, so now, we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. So, here's the question. If we desire a faith that prevails over the works of the enemy, we must believe the words of Jesus. Are you speaking life? And not just speaking life to others. Sometimes that's easier. Are you speaking life to yourself? Do you believe that you are his beloved? Do you believe in his promises? She shared earlier that God was saying some of his promises and saying, it's going to be all right. She could have chosen, too much money. I'm going to be without him forever. I don't want to be without him. You know, all of this junk. But that's not life. She chose to speak life. And each of us have that same decision, that same opportunity in our lives, that when we are encountered with the promise of God over our life, the call of God over our life, are we going to be like Mary? As you have said, so let it be. Or are we going to be like Zechariah, who was like, surely not, right? And then he couldn't speak for a while until his son was born. God said, all right, well, if we're not going to speak life, we're not going to talk at all for a little bit, okay? You know, God can do whatever he wants to do. I encourage you to speak life and to be in agreement with God. God, you see things that I don't see. You have a greater plan, and I don't know all the steps. I trust you. I'm stepping forward, okay? So we said faith that prevails. Prevails over what? Prevails over whom? Everything. We're also going to prevail over the accuser. Did you know that it is his life's mission, his urgent desire to take you down with him? Did you know that he's speaking lies and speaking those half-truths just to try to get someone to believe and agree with his message? Here's what Revelation says. Revelation 12, 11 through 12. I got this in the New King James. It's just how I heard it. But it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's speaking life, okay? And they did not love their lives to the death. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will lay down his life, take up his cross, okay? Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. He's trying to get everybody he can. There was another point of scripture, I can't think of where it is now, I'll put it online. But it was just talking about how not only we, it might have been in Romans, not only we, but even creation is groaning. It's waiting. Like it's expectant. Like a woman in childbirth is the way that it worded it. Like we are so ready. We talked about that this morning. To move into the promise. To move into life. To move into all that God has prepared for us in the last days. Creation is ready. Are you? So here's our next declaration. Holy Spirit, would you work in me and through me to produce this harvest of love? And I pray that people would see you at work in me. It is my desire that your name be lifted high in my life. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit within me that I am an overcomer. Amen? If you walk in him, you are an overcomer. Speak life. So let us pray today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you for hope. We thank you for joy. We thank you for peace. And we thank you for revealing yourself to us in this time through these seemingly simple words in our English vocabulary, but how much depth and weight they carry when we study them in alignment to your word. Lord, we've made them mean so much less in our just common vernacular, Lord, that they've lost the weight, they've lost the power. And as we've studied these words, God, I pray that you reveal in us, reveal in our hearts, reveal in our minds the weight that they carry, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, the lordship of Christ in our life, each and every day, Lord God. We praise you, and I praise you for the people here. I praise you for the people online and that will listen to this message afterwards. I pray that it gets down deep in their heart and they could live it out. They can put it to action. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.